You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with Mark Carmen. And joining us on the line is attorney Rich Lenkov, the more talented, more handsome half of Legal Face Off. You can go to WGN Plus for more information and see all and find all their podcasts. Hey, Rich, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I thank you so much for giving us a little time there. I know that you were waiting, but I wanted to make sure I wrapped up with our Marines. And actually, I apologize. Go to Marines.com for information if anybody wants. I didn't get all that info, and I apologize to them. But Rich, you last week were talking. We were talking about this Aaron Andrews case. And today, what did the jury decide?
They decided on her behalf and decided that the Marriott Hotel and the individual that filmed her were negligent and awarded her $55 million in damages.
How surprised were you when that decision came in?
I was pretty surprised. I thought that she would win, but I did not think the jury would come back with that amount of money. She was asking for $75 million. I thought she might get some, you know, a few million, but I was very surprised that they gave her that much money.
And is the decision entirely in her favor against Marriott, or is there another party that's responsible for that settlement?
The jury awarded the $55 million against both the individual Marriott Hotel and the guy that videotaped her, the stalker. The stalker's responsible for 51% of it, and the hotel's responsible for the balance.
So, and the surprising thing about this was that, you know, now the case is that the hotel failed to protect her privacy. Is that, I mean, it almost seems like they'd have to demonstrate that they knew that there was a possibility. Or what was the standard for this?
The crux of the case was that the hotel was negligent, violated their duty of care to Aaron Andrews by allowing this individual to rent the room next door to her without them checking with her, without any scrutiny. So Aaron Andrews successfully argued to the jury that the hotel should have put, you know, some measures in place to safeguard against this kind of thing happening. The hotel said that, you know, we're not responsible for criminal actions of a guest, and that he, you know, managed to get the room next door to her because he you know, tricked us, but the jury felt otherwise.
Does this make hotels vulnerable to other lawsuits or other kinds, like even charges? If there's somebody doing something, some sort of criminal activity on their property, are they vulnerable now? Or is it?
Yeah, I don't know if this changes things that much. You know, this is a very high profile case, obviously. You know, these kind of lawsuits exist a lot. I represent a lot of hotels, so it's not uncommon for a crime victim to argue that the hotel was negligent. In fact, I just had a case about 6 weeks ago that we won. It was a small case, but it was two guests at a casino in Northwest Indiana argued that, you know, they were robbed at gunpoint in the hotel parking lot. They sued my client, the casino, and argued that the casino was negligent in allowing this to happen. So these kind of things are not uncommon. I don't think this represents a dramatic change. Obviously, the amount of money is huge, but people are always going to argue that a hotel or a restaurant or a retail store is responsible when something bad happens on its premises. Usually, it's, you know, the hotel or the restaurant or a retail store doesn't violate a standard of care just because the criminal act happens on its property. The plaintiff has to prove that, like in this case, there's some sort of negligence or some kind of history of that happening.
Well, now that the jury has awarded her $55 million, how likely is it she'll see that much money?
Yeah, that's really the key question. The 51% that's owed by the individual that videotaped her, you know, she's unlikely to see much of anything of that amount. That's about $28 million, and by all accounts, he's gone through his life savings defending himself in the criminal case. He served 2.5 years in jail in the criminal case. He was an insurance executive, so presumably he has a little bit of money, but again, all reports are that he's got nothing left. Even if he did, he's probably not got $28 million. So he's probably what we call judgment proof. It's unlikely that she'll be able to recover against him. On the other hand, the corporation that owns the hotel, it's a private company, so we don't know the finances, but presumably they have a lot more financial ability to pay their portion of the award. So she'll probably see something, but certainly not $55 million.
Yeah, and we had talked last week that one of the kind of angles that the defense was taking on behalf of Marriott was that she actually benefited from these videos being posted. That maybe, I'm guessing with some of the jurors and if there are any women, that probably was problematic, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, the jury obviously didn't buy that argument. You know, the defense had to argue that she hasn't been affected financially by this event. You know, certainly it's hard to argue that it's hard to put a dollar value on what loss of privacy is worth. Certainly in other similar cases, a jury has not awarded anything close to $55 million. And in this case, she was arguing that her life was altered and that her career has been affected. Well, the defense argued, and they had to argue, that since this happened, her career has actually, you know, she's done a lot better. She's signed a Fox Sports contract. She's hosted Dancing with the Stars. She's, you know, signed a bunch of national endorsement deals. But obviously the jury felt that despite the fact that her career has done better, that loss of privacy that she'll have to deal with for the rest of her life is worth a lot of money.
Hey, Rich, it's Mark Harmon. I saw the attorneys for Marriott were speaking and saying that they hadn't figured out whether or not they would appeal. What's your guess as to how that comes about, yes or no? And if they do, what do you think their chances are with as much as you know?
I think you have to appeal. I mean, almost, you know, it's almost malpractice not to appeal that kind of award. I haven't done the research in terms of, you know, whether this is a record-setting verdict, but it has to be. I imagine in Tennessee, where this case was heard, it's got to set a record for this kind of case. So I think you have to appeal. I think they will. You know, what the hotel is weighing is what cost the appeal will have, not only monetarily, but to their brand. I mean, the longer that the hotel and Marriott in general is associated with this, you know, judgment, the worse it is for its brand. So they might want to consider just getting rid of it and paying the judgment, or paying, maybe settling, you know, for a portion of it. So I think they will appeal it. If they were my client, I would recommend that they appeal it, but it's probably too early for them to decide that.
And, you know, when I see this story again, you know, the idea that the hotel is responsible for, I mean, was there anything that she had let the hotel know, hey, I've got a stalker, could you, you know, make sure that my name is not released? I mean, there is an element of, did the hotel go ahead and let people know, you know, if somebody asked, is Aaron Andrews staying here? Was any of that proven?
No, I mean, all Aaron Andrews, I mean, she did bring in testimony from the hotel operator, or one, maybe someone, I think it was in National Reservations, who admitted that she didn't vet the stalker. She didn't really check out whether he was, you know, friends or related to Aaron Andrews before they allowed him to rent the room. And, you know, this guy had done this before. He had followed Aaron Andrews around to other hotels. He had never videotaped it. But, you know, the hotel didn't know about that. Listen, a hotel is not a guarantor of someone's safety. It's not like the hotel has the resources to conduct criminal background checks of their guests, right? I mean, you know, maybe they shouldn't have allowed him to rent the room next door to her. But to assume that they knew that he would do something like this, I think is a bit of a leap.
How does one go about getting the room next to, like, I don't understand that part of the process. Did he know what room she was in and then say, I want this room, and he didn't have to articulate that he just wanted the room next to Aaron Andrews? Or does someone call the hotel and say, hey, which room is Aaron Andrews staying in? I want the room next to her. Because how does that not raise a red flag? How does someone not go, well, why do you want that room, friend?
Yeah. They will now. I'm sorry, go ahead, Rich.
It's as easy as, you know, they actually have showed, you know, some of the different TV investigative shows have actually run a test now to see if that could still happen. It's as easy as, you know, if you check into a hotel in San Diego with Patty Mark and you say, hey, I want to, and you're not checking in together, you know, let's say you check in 3 hours apart and you say, I want to be next door to my friend Patty Vasquez. Hotel, you know, maybe now in light of this is going to say, well, you know, do you know her? And they're going to ask more details. But traditionally, a lot of hotels will just give you that room.
Which is why you don't check in. Which is why you don't check in with your own name.
Wouldn't a lot of people, though, common sense say that if this person's a celebrity of this stature, and Erin Andrews was not anything. She was definitely famous at the time that she was. You know, she was famous on SportsCenter, famous with ESPN. With people of that profile, wouldn't you think that there should be an extra step even before a case like this comes up?
Yeah, probably. But, you know, in this case, it was a reservation made at the national reservations number. You know, Erin Andrews might be, you know, obviously, listen, she's famous today. But back in 2009, if you were, you know, an 800 operator receiving thousands of different reservations, do you really know who Erin Andrews is? Maybe the result from all of this will be that hotels do scrutinize these things more, and certainly for guest safety, that's a good idea. But at the time, there wasn't this kind of concern.
Hey, Rich, one more from me. So how do you think, in your best guess, how did they get to this number? Like everybody's got a way. Well, what is it worth? And I, you know, I've gone around and I've asked like 100 people. So naked picture of you on the internet, everybody can see it. What's it worth? I mean, and I say, well, I'm in for, you know, whatever, 50 grand. I'm good. And then, you know, people look at me like I'm crazy. Saying, you know, it's at least 5 million, 55 million. I know she's not going to recoup that. How do you think they got to that number?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, juries and the jury in this case don't really have a basis to compare what Erin Andrews is asking to other similar cases. So, you know, for example, if you ask me what a particular case is worth, I'm able to look up other case. I mean, I know from having practiced for 20 years, but you can look up another way is you could look up other cases and, you know, use certain filters and figure out what cases are worth. A jury doesn't have that ability. A jury is not allowed to look at other cases to help them distinguish or determine what a case is worth. So, you know, what Erin Andrews' attorneys asked for were, you know, certain types of damages. But to your point, without a physical injury, without a lot of medical bills, it's hard to understand how they came up with $55 million. It would be one thing if she presented, $10 million worth of medical bills, for example. At least then they could say, we're going to give you the $10 million plus, you know, some extra for pain and suffering. But to get from no physical injury, simple mental stress, and by simple, I don't mean to make light of it, but, you know, just mental stress, to get from that to $55 million, it's surprising. I don't know how they got there.
Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible. And do you think that, you know, people were talking last week that the number was that high? She was asking for $75 million as kind of a teach the hotel industry a lesson. I would imagine that with the $55 million coming down in any of this, they've got to be changing their policies and trying to scrutinize what they do for safety. And perhaps that's, in the end, better for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, a big element of the $55 million, to your point, is punitive damages, right? I mean, there's a difference between compensatory damages, those kind of damages that are meant to compensate the plaintiff in this case, versus punitive damages, which are meant to punish the defendant, not just for their actions in this case, but for future cases. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the jury was looking at not only awarding Erin Andrews damages for what she'll have to deal with in this case, but also sending a message to this and other hotels that we feel that you were negligent and we're going to punish you with, you know, this huge amount of money, and we're going to hope to prevent this from happening to other guests.
Well, Rich, we always appreciate your insight and look forward to talking to you again sometime next week, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds great. Congratulations on the boot camp.
it was a lot of fun. And, you know, Carmen and I would love to sit down with drinks with you and Craig and regale with all of our wonderful boot camp stories whenever you have a chance.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Of course. Our pleasure. That's Rich Lenkov, just the more appreciated half of Legal Face Off on WGNplus.com. More after this on 720 WGN. I'm ready to play today. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with my favorite traveling. I don't travel with people very often, so Carm got to see all of my little idiosyncrasies while we were traveling. I don't travel with anybody, ever. Like, I travel alone constantly.
I'm grateful for the entire trip, and I was for real, and I was grateful to be with you, Patty, and it was great to see you in your travel element.
Well, you're great to travel with. You're a lot of fun. I'm sorry I never had a chance to play tennis with you, and you brought a mitt for me to use, and I immediately had to tell you it would be worthless for me.
Honestly, I thought you were going to be so excited. I'm like, all right, I'm bringing the rackets. I'm going to bring some mitts. We're going to have a little downtime somewhere.
We had very little downtime.
The only downtime we had, you jumped in the hot tub with the Marines.
That was the only window of opportunity, and tennis or riding a bike with Carm or jumping in the hot tub with Marines.
If I could go back to that moment in time, I would not have played the tennis I played because my phone died. I couldn't get an Uber. It was a whole rigmarole.
No,
it was a something, but I survived. I'm here right now.
And we ended up at the Shout House that night.
We did end up at the Shout House.
You did not go dancing with us.
I did not go dancing. I went to get Mexican food.
You did.
Which was delicious.
Which is actually entirely understandable in San Diego.
I heard some stuff went down at that salsa dancing late at night.
There was a lot of dancing. There was a lot of enjoyment of each other's company. Everyone was having a good time. And in a safe and PG all around. G even. I would say G-rated.
G-rated?
Yes.
Okay,
maybe the swearing. We'd possibly put it across.
A little PG.
No, but we enjoyed each other's company and had a lot of fun with all of our new friends. But we didn't play any baseball, even though it was beautiful weather. How are we doing in spring training?
We are doing not that well.
I thought you were going to go a different way. You seemed more optimistic in your tone.
Well,
you have a great way of delivering bad news.
I mean, there's a lot going on right now in the sports world, but
what do you want to hit on? We don't have to do spring training
first. We'll get to spring training in a second.
Give me what you got.
We should start with Lovie Smith.
Oh, see, I don't. $20 million? $21
million? $21 million.
This guy gets $21 million?
6 years.
To be Lovie Smith?
To be
Lovie. To be at my alma mater?
Yep.
I don't like it.
You're not into that? Neither am I.
Do I sound like I'm into that?
No, you
don't. Is there anybody who's into that?
There's a lot of... I'll tell you. Well...
Who?
Okay.
Let me call. Who says this is okay?
Call the Illinois football team right now because they went crazy when he was introduced. And Josh Whitman, who's their athletic director, he's pretty into it too because he hired him. But...
Is it because he's a former professional football coach?
He's a name. He brings credibility. He takes
How
you
can
out...
How he bring credibility if he's Lovie Smith? I'm kidding. I'm sorry, everybody who's like yelling at your radio right now like I know nothing. I'm not a fan.
I don't think that you're wrong. I mean, if you go back in time, when he left here, everybody wanted him to leave. Now, when he left, then Mark Trestman came in. That was a disaster. And Illinois has been a disaster with players saying that the head coach at the time, Tim Beckman, was making them play when they were hurt and all that scandal. And then the athletic director scandal. And you go back to 2011, there's been four football coaches and three ADs. And it's just been one misstep after another down there. So Lovie brings some stability. But you're talking about the money. $21 million for Lovie. They have now Illinois, who is not Ohio State, is not Michigan. Mm-mm. They're going to have the third highest budget in the Big Ten for assistant coaches. $4 million in assistance to help out Lovie. Plus, you're paying the former AD, who you got rid of, $2.5 million. Plus, you're paying the coach that you just gave a 2-year contract to but then didn't end up keeping. You're paying him just under $1 million. So it's...
I can't keep track.
It's a lot of dough, and I don't know how much it's going to cost to take that science class, but I can pretty much guarantee you it seems like it's got to go up.
Well, considering that the state of Illinois is, you know, once again in a state of emergency when it comes to our budget... Where does the revenue, is all the revenue generated by ticket sales and by the alumni?
Well,
who takes care
of it? Most of it's TV. So you've got the Big Ten Network, and you've got ESPN, and you've got the bowl games, and there's a lot of dough flying around.
Okay.
But Illinois is half full down in Champaign, so it's hard to imagine that this is going to be a football program that is going to be living in the black. I don't know their numbers, but with everything they're spending and from where they're at as far as attendance, despite all the TV money, I would be skeptical that the football team is going to pay for itself.
What? Okay, so aside from stability, what kind of track record does he have? We know what he did in Chicago. What is Lovie Smith?
He hasn't been in the college game for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had two seasons in Tampa Bay. They were awful their first year, won two games, and then last year they won six. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't think he deserved to get fired. It was pretty stunning that they did. And Tampa is not exactly an organization that historically knows what they're doing. So Listen, the Bears have been to the Super Bowl once since 1985, if you want to go glass half full here. They went with Lovie.
Okay.
And Lovie won the division three times. Even when they fired Lovie, the Bears were 10-6 that year.
Right, which is...
I mean, it's a good... You know,
it's decent, right.
Well, it's good. It's better than decent. So they haven't been close to 10-6 since he's left. So,
What are his strengths as a coach? I mean,
the players always love him.
Okay.
So he should, I would think, connect very well with the student athletes, which you would think would play into recruiting. Parents are probably going to love Lovie, the old Love Lovie. So I think his best attribute is going to be that he should be able to connect with who he's bringing in. And you go and you play for Lovie, and you have the dream of playing in the NFL. Well, Lovie's got a lot of friends in the NFL.
Oh, interesting.
And Lovie maybe knows how to get to the NFL and knows what they'd be looking for. Mm-hmm. So for those dreaming that, and you're trying to get high-level talent, maybe that's appealing to somebody to go to Illinois now because this guy knows the league.
Interesting. All right. So they kind of dangle that in front of their recruiting.
There's a carrot there.
All right, then fine. Lovie. Sorry, it's only because it's my school and it seems like a lot of money to spend on the guy. But maybe I enjoy being proven wrong. I know it sounds crazy. I mean, I don't really enjoy it. I more enjoy saying "I told you so." I don't even like doing that, actually. Right, I think it a lot, though.
But in this particular situation, it wouldn't be terrible to be proven wrong. Then you'd have some fun.
It would, exactly.
Right.
Yes, I'll even play this clip back when we do really well. And I guess 6 years to turn it around.
That's all.
That's it. All right.
6 big years.
Let's see what else is going on in sports when we come back with Carm on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Mark Carman. Both of us have been told that despite any desires of the other, we don't qualify to be a Marine. No age waivers for us.
That was a blow.
I know, I'm sorry.
I mean, I really just want to do the 13-week, the rest of it.
Really? You want to see if you can do the Crucible and the Reaper and all that? Be broken down and built back up as a warrior?
Yep.
What's the point of doing that if you don't become a warrior?
I become a warrior quickly into my... In my own world.
Just be released into society.
You feeling me at all in that, Patty?
There should be like a civilian boot camp is what you're saying? I'm sure you get paid for something like that.
Yes. Like, I feel like corporations should send their employees to civilian boot camp.
I think maybe society should just send us all to some sort of boot camp.
Or maybe some sort of, you know, workout regimen could be developed. I don't know, CrossFit training of some kind.
You know, my trainer is she developed the program for the Navy SEALs at the Great Lakes Training Base.
Okay.
All right then.
So you wanted to know about spring training?
I did.
Cubs are 1-5. That's one win.
That's Esmeralda. That's we've won 1 and lost 5. I think is what 1 and 5.
Yep, 1-5.
Losses come.
It's a winning percentage of 167, which is not very good. That does not win you the World Series. But never fear, it is only spring training. White Sox are 3-1. And
Esmeralda, you're cued into this, right?
I was gonna say I'm not the biggest, smartest person in sports, but that doesn't sound good.
Not sound great.
Yep. Good luck, guys.
Esmeralda and I will be there with our beers.
It's very early, and WGN, by the way, is going to have a lot of coverage out at spring training.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. I'm very excited. Not us. We're not going. We're not traveling there. Are we?
I feel like you should try to get that done.
I think so, too. Yeah. I'll go on my own dime. I go to Springfield on my own.
See, there you go.
I'm just saying. I'll do it. Craig, I say we go. I mean, we should probably tell somebody we're going, right?
Yeah, probably that part.
All right, then.
And we might talk to Sam Penianovich tomorrow from spring training, by the way.
Tomorrow or next week?
He is going this week.
Is he going this week?
We'll see. We'll just call him wherever he is.
Okay.
All right.
Tomorrow. He's leaving tomorrow.
He's leaving tomorrow. All right. Yeah. Run down Sammy. Interesting. We are getting a text here about Maria Sharapova.
Oh, I forgot about Maria Sharapova. Okay. So there's a new drug that was added to the class of what could be what's banned. And she happens to be taking a medication. She has been taking this for 10 years, but did not know that it was now added to the class of banned substances, right?
So she says, yes.
Okay. Well, what is this substance used for to enhance that is now
banned? Well, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how it has benefited her. I mean, she said she was taking it for health reasons. It's called Meldonium, M-E-L-D-O-N-E-I-U-M, M-E-L-D-O-N-I.
Could you get Charles Turk on the line for us, Dr. Charles Turk?
Of course.
We need you to let us know how to pronounce that, at least, the very least.
Yeah, it's she's got a history of diabetes in her family. She said she's been taking it for 10 years by her family doctor and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
you sound a little bit suspicious.
Well,
would you say a little or incredibly suspicious?
Listen, I love the game of tennis. I hate to doubt its greatest stars, but there's long been rumors that certain guys at the top of the game, they could not sustain their play. I mean, these guys play mm-hmm. 4 or 5 hours, you know, 5 set matches. You're the only guy on the court. I mean, you're not passing the ball to a teammate, right? They play 5 hours. Come back there, do it again.
Right.
You know, next day or day after.
Right.
I mean,
how long do you sustain that for?
How long can you sustain that? How do you recover so quickly? And some of the prominent people around the game, Martina Navratilova, top of that list, campaigning, matches should not be, like, the women play 3 sets, the men play 5 in the majors. You know, Martina's like, 5 sets is too long. The men should be playing 3 sets, just like the women. Which, that is kind of a little sort of old school 60s. If the men can do it, the women can only do it. Why shouldn't it be equal, right? So, I don't know. Maria, if you give her the benefit of the doubt, okay, fine. She's been taking it for 10 years, and there's a million over-the-counter drugs that you could buy at, you know, whatever.
That aren't a banned substance.
Right.
Well, wait, but it's a little unfair to say that we have to give her the benefit of the doubt because she did test positive for this specific drug, Meldonium, and it was just banned starting at the beginning of 2016, so literally a couple months ago, which means a predominant amount of her career, whether or not she took this substance, is totally irrelevant. She was allowed to take it. It was not a banned substance. So if it helped her athletically as opposed to medically, it doesn't matter. She was allowed to take it up until January 2016, and then getting caught for it now only throws out the last month and a half of her career.
Right. On the surface, all that is true.
Okay.
But a lot of the players in the game, you saw some of the tweets around it right now, there's people questioning her.
Questioning her for taking something else?
Perhaps.
Right. Well, because the anti-doping agency came forward and said that she tested positive for this.
Right.
So they didn't say she tested positive for anything else.
Correct.
So
there's just, once you get caught, I think people in the game start looking like, I knew it. Now, whether they're right or wrong,
she's also been on the top for a while, though, Mark, and maybe a lot of the people in the game resent her for being on top, and so they like the fact that she's getting pulled down.
That could be very true, correct? No question about it.
To the left.
Yeah, exactly.
She's one. Hey, listen.
I mean, I'm dumbfounded a little bit by the way people are approaching this, and this actually came up in our meeting today, and even Stephanie Menendez, our boss, said, because I categorize this as the least bad of a drug kind of story out there, because she just tested positive for a substance that was just banned very, very recently. So this doesn't seem the same as someone, you know, testing positive for steroids.
Craig, I like you stepping up for her, and I do. And here, she's a phenomenal story.
She is.
Most people in tennis, they come from a bunch of dough. She's like the Williams sister. She came from nothing.
Yep.
And she, you know, she was 7 years old in Russia, and then she comes to the States, and she bursts on the scene. 13, 14 years old, she turns pro. She wins Wimbledon at 17. She beats Serena to do it. She's won all 4 majors, which is an incredible accomplishment. She's won the French Open twice.
Number one ranked player in the world for a while.
Yeah, she was number one in the world, and she's an incredible business person, and she was the number one moneymaker on the women's side for 11 years. I mean, there's a lot that she's done, which is incredibly, incredibly positive. And the way she's handling this, called a press conference. Everybody thought she was retiring.
Really?
Yeah, that was the hub that she was going to retire. And she said if only
she just retired. This.
Right. I was still like, I mean, if we're really going into it, I guess you don't need to know this part, but I'll tell anyway. I mean, I shoot videos during the day for a website called fansided.com. I had it shot. I mean, I had the congratulations, Maria retirement ready to go right when it was posted. And they're like, and then it hits. She's not retiring.
Wow.
She's tested positive, which it was completely stunning.
Wow.
But from that standpoint, you know, if you're a Sharapova fan or even a tennis fan for that matter, she'll be back and she'll play, which is, it would have been awful if she had just kind of sort of not gotten a goodbye, like somebody of that, you know, prestige.
But now it's tainted, though.
Yeah, a little, but yeah, these things blow over.
All right.
I mean, they always do.
Really? How's Lance Armstrong doing?
That's a whole other
It's
animal.
Not the same thing. We can't compare. That's apples
and
oranges.
I'm just saying.
I know.
He said these things always blow over.
Lance is doing very terrible because he was taking a drug for sure banned the entire time he was taking it.
And
in no way, shape, or form.
I heard he's mean, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a jerk. But Sharapova's not terribly nice, though.
She screams a lot on the court, which...
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody on the court?
I did today.
A lot of people do scream, but not... She's on the high end. They do teach you, though, when you're... Well, I don't know if they teach this, but...
Is it kind of like the bayonet course where they tell you to intimidate your enemy?
When you make contact with the tennis ball, it's kind of like a rhythmic thing, like... You know, you want to be exhaling at that moment. It gets.
And what's a Carm sound like when he's making contact with the ball?
Oh,
we can take a break.
Yeah.
We can take a break.
I'll make contact with the ball, and I'll tell you how I sound. More after this on 728 WGS. Well, you're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's just the three of us now. Well, Bob Ferguson's here too because he was working the music on Justin Kaufman's show. And we'll have music on Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. So, right, we have the Irish Heritage Center, the Irish American Heritage Center.
We're not sure exactly what guests are coming, but
it was
sure
magic.
There's gonna be music and other stuff.
Do you remember last year, the guy with that,
his voice was amazing.
Remember?
Yeah. I'm excited.
It was so good.
I think they might have food and stuff coming too.
Oh, there we go. We had some food today also in the upstairs from Chief O'Neill's.
Oh, nice.
And the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls was there. David Plyer was interviewing them. Wait a minute. Should I be talking about the way his show?
That's fine.
Sorry, David.
Talk about that.
It's all magic.
It's all magic.
But it was
such
good food. So yes, we look forward to having the Irish American Heritage Center folks here on Wednesday. They were on Kogan's show last night. They were great. It was so much fun to listen to. I have a Facebook account. I accidentally deleted one of my friends yesterday. I was trying to clear up some followers on Facebook that were kind of getting a little bit weird. So I decided to clean house a little bit. Esmeralda, do you ever go through and see if maybe this person doesn't need to be on my Facebook anymore? Is it really a friends thing? Is it the fans?
I've been thinking of doing that in the sense of just just reining back on what I put up or
right.
for who to see and things like that.
Right,
but
who has access? Right,
right. But usually, but it's that's so daunting.
It's so many people I know.
Usually, I just if I see something, I'm like, I'm sick of it, and then I unfollow.
Right. It depends on their post.
Right. If I've seen something, I'm like, all right, enough. I will unfriend or I'll unfollow.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think for me, there were a few people, there was a while where people were very angry at certain politicians and they would have their face in the bottom of a toilet bowl in the shape of, of refuse or whatever, right? And I was like, well, I don't even care if I agree or disagree with you. This is just gross. I don't need this. And I would delete it. I try to pare down again, if people aren't contributing to the conversation or if they're there for other reasons. Some people seem to misunderstand what Facebook friend is or a like page. It's not to be contentious or mean spirited or argue with other people on my face. Don't come to my Facebook page to get into a fight with somebody else. But for the most part, I will say all of the posts for the Marines and boot camp were very favorable. So apparently that's a unifying factor, our photos of Marines. And I think that that's a good thing to know. Do you have any friends who have passed on that you still have in your Facebook account that you just you don't want to sort of unfriend? This sounds really weird, but I think I just did this recently because I saw it's just painful for me to still have them as a Facebook friend. People go back and they post, I miss you. I was thinking about you today. And I'd rather have my own memories and sort of honor them in my own way rather than this sort of strange Facebook page.
Yeah, it's hard to assess that. I do. I have, and I don't know if you were asking Esmeralda or I, but I do have a few people that I'm friends with that have passed away now, and I know that other people are maintaining those pages and posting for those pages, and a lot of friends post, we miss you, we care about you, that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's comforting in a way.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of really cathartic things that exist, but just personally, if I think about my Facebook page after I pass away, I don't want it to be around anymore.
Right.
I don't want a weird, social media page to represent me, so I'd like someone to delete it.
Do you have a plan in place?
No, I have no plan in place.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to set something up because it can be there forever.
Okay.
Well, they're saying by the end of this.
Do I tell Facebook? How do I handle this?
I don't know.
You Google that.
All right. Yeah. Who to leave respond?
Turn off Facebook can you put when
that,
I die?
I'll bet you can put that in an estate, right? Like in your last will and testament or whatever.
See, that to me is really disturbing, that I would have to list my social media pages in my estate.
Please, here's the password to my account.
And now here's the password to my
Please
Twitter.
Delete.
Don't tweet anything that's not funny.
No. Facebook has 1.5 billion users right now. And according to Digital Beyond, an online legacy planning company, millions of them have already passed away. When people pass away, their loved ones turn their profiles into memorials. And I have a couple of friends who've done this. And, I actually have a relative who somebody set up a digital grave site for, which I did not know about. I was just searching to see what kinds of things turned up in my relative's name. And it turned out somebody had created, and it was kind of sweet. There were pictures I had never actually seen from his childhood. It was interesting and strange at the same time and beautiful. I don't know. And I guess it's kind of for Facebook. That's what people are doing. If anyone has any thoughts on this, I'm curious now. 312-981-7200. Have you lost somebody and find it comforting to be able to visit their Facebook page and communicate with other friends who really miss that person? For me, it is the Wine Diva. And I would get notifications. I would get notifications saying it was the Wine Diva's birthday, these different things. And I thought, I can't, this isn't the relationship I want to have right now with Christine Bloomer. So now it's weird because I can't now send a friend request once I decided to unfriend that page. It's very weird. I feel very strange even talking about this.
We can always just unfollow.
I should have unfollowed.
Yeah, you stay friends with them. You just don't see anything.
Gotcha. I should have done that.
Yeah, that is my favorite thing in the world now, actually. Unfollow. You guys were talking a little bit ago about how to weed out some people that maybe you don't want to be friends with anymore. Just unfollow them. I don't care if they still think we're friends if I don't have to know they exist on Facebook anymore.
Yeah, I do that. I did that.
By the way, thank you, Esmeralda, for this article about how to get my Facebook estate in order.
I did unfollow to a few of my family members.
Did you really?
Because I'm like, you know what? I don't need to hear about it. Like, why did you unfriend me? I'll just unfollow
you. Do they actually also have political views that are not in line with yours?
Well, a little bit.
Okay, because I have a whole group of family members that have political views not in line with mine. And yeah. You got to unfollow them.
Yeah, there's that and some of them I just don't like.
Got it.
Well, one's not even a family member, but that's a whole other situation.
Some other time.
Wow. Yeah. I kind of like this little path.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. We're learning a lot about Esmeralda the last few shows.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to tell you. I still have to catch up with her on our baby feet. She has gone through the baby feet process.
She baby feeted?
Yes.
Footed.
Yeah, baby footed.
She got some results, but not the extent that she was hoping for.
I took some pictures.
Like right after, was it reminiscent of baby feet?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, I don't know. Are you trying to get it like as soft as a newborn baby's foot? Is that
They look soft to me. I didn't get up close and personal with your feet, but they did look rather smooth.
They're a little, stuff has fallen off.
Got it. Do you have a baby you can compare your foot to?
No.
Okay.
And we I haven't really.
I wonder if Tatey will bring his in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Could you, maybe at least a picture of his baby's
I will
foot.
Ask Tatey to bring his baby so Esmeralda can put her foot next to
no,
Tatey's baby.
No, it's definitely not a baby foot smooth. Because okay. I can still see dry bits. Dry crack because my heels are pretty rough.
Are they less rough now though?
Yeah, they look a little less, but not like okay. They're bad, like cracked and stuff. So I didn't think that the heels would or the baby feet would heal it completely.
Can you do it again?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I saw some reviews where it's like, yeah, we had to do it a few times because my feet were that bad. It's like, oh boy.
I gotta have some time where I didn't want to do it while we were, and not that I was gonna go around barefoot in San Diego, but you don't want to get into a hot tub with Marines,
right?
Do you have the stuff
molting.
Here, Patty?
In Chicago?
No, in the studio.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Or a sock full of just dry skin.
I think you should do it here, yeah.
Oh.
Well, there's a whole process that I was reading about in the reviews to get optimal results. Mm-hmm. So you have to soak your feet in just warm water beforehand for like 15 minutes and then put the things on.
Right.
Got it.
And then soak again. So it's a whole thing.
I have a little heated foot bath. Bring it in. I have one. Don't laugh at that. It's awesome.
I mean, it doesn't do anything. You don't see anything right away.
I got it from Walgreens.
Is it the one that like a little jet spa?
Yeah, it's just got little rollers. I got it at Walgreens on the clearance. It was on the clearance rack.
I don't know how to do any of this information. I just see Craig at home now with his foot spa.
It bubbles.
Oh, he's got cucumbers on his eyes.
It's so great.
The drill instructor would have loved you.
I know. Joe, well, I want to watch Up with him. So
no, that's okay. Can we talk about Sergeant Paraka since he's not in the studio anymore?
Sure. Yeah, let's see that.
He has the cutest eyelashes, and the fact that he wants to be a drill instructor. Like when he told me that last week, like, he was so surprised that I didn't already know that. Having been around a lot of the drill instructors last week, I would love to see him as a drill instructor fulfill his dream of occupying that position.
But you're saying his eyelashes will deter?
For me, it'd be really hard to take him seriously.
Are they curled?
Yes.
Oh,
they're
so
cute. Well, next time he's in studio, I'm sure every Marine likes to hear that. He dropped his head when I told him that
this
on the bus one
thing?
Day. Esmeralda?
Yeah. Girl, I call them girl eyes.
You guys are attracted to eyelashes?
No, but there's a thing it just makes because they're naturally curly there's, sometimes on guys.
There's some men who just have the sweetest eyelashes. I don't know how to tell you.
And it makes their eyes just look so pretty.
And bright.
I don't know what we're saying. I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, usually I say that and be like, oh, you have girl eyes. That's what I always
say. Okay.
I didn't say that to Sergeant Paraka, but really sweet. I didn't do this to
still
him.
I'm really confused.
Yeah.
And I bet you if he makes a pouty face, they look adorable.
Well, that's why I love when he looks at me when I've gotten something wrong, because like his eyelashes, he blinks a little bit and like, because he knows he's going to set me straight, but he's got these cute, pretty eyelashes. Just makes it so, oh, this is not going well. He's going to be so upset.
I'm so confused about it. I'm sure he's just
the
as
pretty
confused
eyelashes.
As I am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is what other like things that are weird.
Do you guys have sometimes guys with freckles?
Okay.
It's like girls. I think there's something
freckles
like
freckles is more. That's more universal. I think freckles can be cute. Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm very partial to
gingers.
Oh gosh, yes.
I like gingers too.
Okay, but that's hair color. Now that's more of a typical.
Fair
but,
enough.
So like blue eyes or green eyes or even brown, like a hazel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this is so dumb, but if you're like talking to a guy, sometimes you look at their eyes, you're just like, wow, they're really pretty.
They're entranced.
Just their eye color is like, oh.
Mm-hmm. There was a law student at the University of Illinois that was helping me with an issue with a landlord. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking a long, long, long time ago. I still remember he had his eyes were like these, like just these beautiful sapphires. I could just get lost in them. It's been a long time since I've been in college.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that was that whole, oh, you're getting lost in their eyes. I was like,
oh,
really?
No,
right.
No, no.
And then I experienced like, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. They're like beautiful pools.
So if these guys with really nice eye colors also had amazing eyelashes.
Oh man!
Sometimes yes,
if I call correctly. Done and done.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Craig. Okay, so we are starting a new segment tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Okay, so we're starting a new segment tonight, Esmeralda. I informed Esmeralda we are moving what we meant to get to our Friday nights. A couple of reasons. One, Craig and I, and really Craig, has outdone himself in so many different ways with his dance moves. And I felt kind of like it was more of a challenge to see, because he would do like the dolphin.
I did the dolphin.
And he was doing, I mean, like he was riding all the horses.
I rode so many.
There was a carriage sometimes.
Yeah, there was a carriage. Yep.
I mean, I think you were bareback once in a while. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Well,
it was shooting.
Not talk about all that. That wasn't always on the, it's not always on the video. Some of that was inappropriate.
I think the reaction I got from Esmeralda was perhaps my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But we were starting; it was starting to get a little bit. You and I were kind of. We got into chair dancing, which we
it
even
had become.
I love dancing, and
right?
I, yeah,
it hadn't. It was no longer like fun, and and you know.
And we want everyone to dance.
Yeah.
So if we store it up,
right.
Friday night dance party.
Organic. We'll be more into it.
Yes.
For real.
Right.
I won't be performing for the cameras.
Well, the other thing is we were kind of getting to everything. We were basically pulling stories to pretend
that
like we
too.
Hadn't gotten, not pretend,
yeah.
but to get to them.
Yeah,
to,
we were doing a much better job of getting to things.
Yes.
So
again, and one of the reasons that we came up with this was because previously I'd worked with producers who would generate just tons and tons and tons of things and print them out. And I just wanted to make sure I didn't waste the paper. So that's how we ended up with the segment. Jason Skaggs has this great song that we dance to every week. So we'll be doing it every Friday. Now, Esmeralda, we've come up with a new segment. And we don't know how long this is going to last because we don't know how many people we can bother. But there are some people at WGN Television who have to wake up very soon to get ready for work and get over to the station over at Bradley Place over by Lane Tech. So we were having brunch yesterday after the Fight for Air Climb with Marcus LeShock, who is one of the one of the many talented on-air people at WGN Television. He does a lot of their tech stuff, a lot of the really fun segments on their show. And one of our own here at WGN was telling me that there's actually like wake-up quizzes. So we were just going to give him his first wake-up call, but now I kind of think that we should give him a quiz to make sure he really, like, he's not going to go back to sleep. Like, we're not just his snooze button. So we're going to see if we can quiz him a little bit.
Wait, wake-up quizzes?
Wake-up quizzes, yes.
Like, what does that mean?
Like,
that means to make sure you're actually awake, you've got to do a quick quiz.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you're not?
If you're not passing the quiz?
Wait, is this at work?
No, this is...
I have no idea.
This is like before you drive in a car or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I think this is to protect yourself, make sure your brain is...
But I have to find some of the quizzes.
Doing the brain
interesting.
Things.
I would like to know what you have to do if you fail.
Well, you're not awake then.
You just don't go to work?
If you had 3/4 of a pie, what percent would that be?
I don't even know that in like sober life.
Not as much pie as I had before.
What did Spain want while coming to America? These are stupid. I need to find another quiz.
Money? I don't... these are hard.
When? You didn't define a time.
Yeah,
like,
this is not really a thing. What song should you wake up to in the morning? New wake me up quizzes. How's that?
Wake me up before you go.
I don't think these are. We have to make up our own questions for them.
Okay.
How about just
I thought we were going to ask them pretty late trivia questions.
Oh.
But wouldn't they be sleeping?
Okay, yeah. Then I thought we were going to fill them in on what they missed.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Tonight, we will start with at least what you missed.
I'm pretty late. Yeah.
Thank you. You're right. Thank you for reminding me.
Sure.
I should be quizzed. More after this on 720 WGN. Let's see if Marcus LeShock will wake up to us.